Welcome to the Brothers Murph Gets Smart, a weekly podcast in which two brothers, namely myself, Michael E. Murphy,
and myself, Nick Murphy,
attempt to become more knowledgeable about this great, big, beautiful world of ours and all the things in it. And joined with us this week is the incomparable
Casey Brown.
And she's going to be helping us along the way. So as we are all aware, or I swear, I hope we're aware, today is Election Day.
I don't think you could miss this one. Even if you are not political at all, there's no way
someone's
you can
just
miss
like,
this one.
Is there something going on? I see people line up. Is like a new Shake Shack in town? Or like, what's
Why
going
is,
on?
Is everyone at church today? What's going on?
Yeah, is this like Rosh Hashanah? Well, either way, it's Election Day, guys. Please go vote if you haven't. I know that all of you have because you're wonderful, great people. But we know that the last many months and year have been tiring, and so we wanted to provide a little bit of escapism today, a little bit of entertainment, but also have it link conveniently back into important things with politics. And we wanted to talk a little bit about swing states, or one swing state in particular. So we sent out Nick, he's our field correspondent, to one of these states. He didn't know that at the time it would matter politically at all, but sure, he nevertheless gained a lot of useful intel, and we'd like to have him tell us a little bit about this place. So Nick, where did you go?
Oh, where did I go? I went on vacation to beautiful Manchester, New Hampshire.
Right, Manchester, New Hampshire. So we're going to get into all of how did you even land there, but we saw this as an opportunity to become, I guess, experts in touring the beautiful New Hampshire hills. I don't know if there's hills.
There's a hill, we know for there's, sure. There's one mountain.
You're up in the Appalachians and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, I think this is our chance to become the best tourists that New Hampshire has ever seen if and when we go back to Manchester. Oh, we'll go back. So we can get into how you got there, where you stayed, what's mm-hmm. Manchester like, things not to miss. Or things to definitely avoid.
Yes.
The food scene, the nightlife, you know, that whole thing. And really become experts in everything Manchester.
Sell us on it, dude.
Indeed. Well, I got there. I did not get there by boat. Most people think I did.
Okay. Yeah. I would have thought
California
there was an
to Manchester.
Easy canal.
You didn't go the long way, took the Pacific down to the Indian and around?
I didn't go through the Panama Canal. I went down around the Horn of Argentina. No, I got there by plane. Which is great.
How did that go? Was all that cool and smooth?
It did not go well. Well,
what do you mean?
Once I was on the plane, it went fine.
Okay.
About 20 minutes or so into my vacation, I almost went to jail, probably on terrorism charges.
Wait, slow down.
It's true.
Hold on.
This is all true. So
did you say like, I'm going to New Hampshire? And they're like, oh shit, blacklisted.
There's no one would ever voluntarily go to New Hampshire. So. Yeah.
So I what did you do?
So again, we're here to get smarter, Mike and I. And I don't necessarily think we're dumb people, but there are sometimes, I'll speak for myself, my stupidity goes to crazy levels.
Oh, no.
Or like just my not thinking things through in terms of like,
well, can we pause and talk about not thinking things through in terms of how much planning you did for this trip you got to the airport?
If we want to talk about that, I purposely went in. I really wanted to go on a vacation because I hadn't been on a vacation in about 5 years.
Okay.
Mike and Case were going to Disney World. And I want to go. I want to go somewhere. I want to go somewhere I've never been. And I want to go somewhere no one ever goes. Because I was like, I don't want to go to Atlanta or Chicago or New York. I want to go somewhere
cool. You don't want to go anywhere cool.
To go. I was going to try to go to Greenland. $7,000 for a plane ticket. Couldn't quite afford it. So I decided to go to Manchester, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to go there and I'm not going to plan anything. I'm not going to look up anything about the town. All I did was look up a place to stay. I got an Airbnb, a flight, and then that was pretty much it.
That's my nightmare.
So you, this could have been like a meth den of a city.
It could have been. It could have been. Or it could have been completely covered in snow and I wouldn't have known. I didn't look up even the weather. I refused to. I was like, I'm going to go. I brought lots of different kind of clothes. I brought like shorts and like bro tanks, but then I also brought like my pea coat just in case it was really cold because I don't know what weather is like in New Hampshire.
And so this is literally just sounds like I wish I was spontaneous, but I plan every minute. And so when Nick told me this, I immediately found the only person I know from New England and asked her on his behalf because of my worry for him. What's the weather like there? She's from Maine. And I was like, my friend is going to New Hampshire.
Is he
please help me so he is still alive when he comes back, because he's not looking up anything.
Nope.
It terrified me, but he's here now. So
yeah. So again, talking about not planning, didn't plan anything. Okay. But also, I when I was there, I wanted to continually make videos of while I'm there and showing people like this is what Manchester is like. And in the show notes for this show, we'll put all of my videos up there so you can kind of get a visual of some of the stuff that I'm talking
videos
about.
Videos are great. They're super funny. And,
it's just mostly me being super weird while alone. But so what I first want to do is make an introductory video. And I was like, I'm going to make it very straightforward, but I want to put some funny stuff in the end. Like, I want to be like, I'm going there, but I didn't look up anything. So I brought a headlamp just in case I get lost in a cave. I brought a blindfold just in case I feel like delving into Manchester's underground BDSM scene. But then you'll also notice that I brought something else while I was there. So my bag is going through the TSA stuff, going through the
this is a carry-on?
Yeah, my carry-on, oh, going God. Through the X-ray stuff. And it's going through, and then they pull my bag over to search it, because for some reason, my bag always gets pulled. I don't know why. So they start going through my bag, and I'm kind of just sitting off to the side. I already have my shoes and stuff. And all of a sudden, absolute dread just washes over me. What? Because all of a sudden, I realize, oh, there's something in my bag.
What?
So if you remember from that video, I said, I'm going to bring some charcoal just in case a local nobility tries to poison me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I had two charcoal briquettes in my bag. God. Instant flammable charcoal briquettes in my bag. Because I just like, I was like, I think this.
I'm sorry. Holy shit.
Was like, I think that's a funny joke to bring some charcoal, you know, whatever. Just as a, you know. Because that soaks up poison. That's what it you should do hilarious. If you drink poison. So I was like, okay, that'll be a funny joke. But I don't want to have to try to like find charcoal once I'm there. So I was like, screw it. We have charcoal on our patio. And I was like, I'll just bring it. Like, oh I'll just God. Bring it. So all of a sudden it hits me. And I'm like, oh my God. I brought charcoal on a plane. Like, it's not like it's like bug spray where I could be like, oh, I forgot to put it in my check. You know, because bug spray is really flammable. I'm like, oh, I forgot to put it in my.
There's this is no literally designed for starting a fire.
Really quickly. So my mind immediately is like, what do I say so that I don't get arrested? Because I think the least thing that could happen to me is that I would get delayed and miss my flight. Like they would detain me for a while and then realize that I'm just stupid. But like, but so I'm like, what can I do? So I'm not good thinking, making plans when I'm panicking, because this was legitimately the best thing I could think of at that moment. I was going to go, oh, well, bringing charcoal on planes is a Norwegian tradition.
Oh my God, dude.
What the fuck? Only thing.
Mike and Nick are of Norwegian ancestry for our viewing audience.
I was
going to
say that our mom wouldn't let me get on a plane unless I had charcoal with me, because it's just some weird. I have no idea why that was, but it was the only thing that popped in my head.
Did you say that?
No, I didn't. Oh, okay, so there's a way I got out of this, and I need to give it up to one of my coworkers who's named Jesse. He's the only reason I'm probably not in jail on terrorist charges right now, because we're moving buildings at my work right now, and we have an art studio, and we were getting rid of a bunch of stuff in the art studio, and he, like an hour before I left to go to the airport to go to Manchester, handed me this packet and said, hey man, they were going to throw these away, but like you probably will use these, so you should take them. And I said, oh, okay. And what it was some drawing charcoal. So right after they take out the instant flammable charcoal briquettes out of my thing, they also pull out this package of drawing charcoal that says like drawing charcoal on the outside. So they kind of looked at them both all weird and then kind of just shrugged and put them to the side. So I think they thought I was using them for drawing because I also had drawing charcoal. So the thing is, if Jesse hadn't randomly been like, here's some drawing charcoal before I left, I'd probably be in jail right now.
Dude.
So, and
because you know that with your dumb excuse, Google is a thing they could have used.
100%.
To say.
Like I said, I don't think well when I'm panicking.
Traveling traditions of the Vikings. You're like, nope.
So, So then turns out I had my water bottle. It was like half full of water, and they don't allow you to bring water. Yeah.
Did you say like the water so I can put out the fire I'm going
to
light?
Yeah, exactly. So that's what they stopped me for. I had to go dump out my water, put my bag back through the thing with the charcoal and everything like that, and then I went.
And they let you on with the instant light charcoal.
Nothing was taken out. I was still able to do the video when I got to Manchester. Wow. So...
wow.
That was in the first 15, 20 minutes of my trip into Manchester.
Started off great.
Went to jail.
So you get to Manchester. You get off the plane with no planning.
Yes.
I
had a rental car set up. The only other thing I had set up was a rental car. So I went, got my rental car. And then I got in at like 1 o'clock in the morning. So I had an Airbnb. I went straight there. And then just went to bed.
How's the Airbnb scene?
It was cool. The guy was awesome. He left out like top ramen and like oatmeal for me, which is pretty cool. So nice. I could make popcorn and like little bottles of water. I was like, all right, this guy rules.
Baller move.
Yeah, respect. I was like, cool. It was cool. It was like a nice little place. Nothing fancy. Didn't even meet the guy. He was gone the whole time. So it was cool.
Cool.
Airbnb rules. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so I want to know more about Manchester.
What the hell is Manchester, New Hampshire about?
Yeah, before we get into the sights of Manchester, like, what is Manchester? Because I just think of England when I think of Manchester. So is it tiny England?
It's New England, for sure.
Okay.
It's one of the first things, even when it was dark out and I was driving to my Airbnb, my first thought was like, damn, this place is New England. This place is just hella New England. Like, it's just exactly what I picture New England being, whether or not that's true or not. Like, what I, as a California boy, thinking, what is it like? I assume everything is either giant Victorians or, like, just red brick buildings. And that's mostly what it is. So it was very, very pretty, as would be assumed of New Hampshire. Yeah, it was lots of trees, forests everywhere. Red brick. It's a relatively big city. It's the biggest city in New Hampshire. The population is 110,000.
It's bigger than their capital. This is the Mecca.
Most populous city. Yeah.
I did not know.
It's about an hour outside of Boston. So my assumption is a lot of people commute to work or maybe live there and kind of go back and forth.
Sure.
Because there's really not much there in terms of industry. It turns out 96% of employers in New Hampshire are small business owners. It's a very, very small business state. So
it's just like everyone's just kind of selling wares. Get your tchotchkes
just
here.
Stuff at you at the street and stuff like that. Yeah.
Is that how it's always been? Is it just kind
apparently,
of
apparently, yeah, it's just kind of a small business kind of town and small business state in general. So that's really cool. Little bit of fame comes out of that place. Adam Sandler was born in Manchester. What? I'm pretty sure he left when he was like one because he's
of his own free will. He's
probably
like,
he's like, I'm leaving, mom. I don't even care. He's from there. And so his picture just shows up places. People were like, Adam Sandler's here, like in their museums and stuff. His picture's always in all their museums and stuff.
So what's the history? Like, how did Manchester become?
Like, why did it become a city?
I mean, I'm just curious because we're from California and our history is so short here in LA.
Yeah. I mean, it's short
America. But I imagine that the buildings are as older than anything we have here.
They
it come from?
It's one of the original 13 colonies. So it's Revolutionary War time, which is super cool. Manchester, what it's known for is milling. It was all mills. There's a Merrimack River, which goes through Manchester, kind of splits the town in half. And all along the river in the downtown area, there's these giant brick buildings that are all mills. It was owned by the Amaskeag Mill Company. They owned all these mills.
So it was like a private...
So it's like a milling
town.
Yeah, basically. And it kind of it's like any kind of boom town. Once everything was centered around that one product, essentially, and then the town grew around
it. So they probably just float logs down the river in the middle of town and drop them off at mills along the way.
The milling kind of started off as that, but then it moved into textiles. And so it was like the largest cotton mills in the world were like in Manchester for a while. At the peak, they were doing, I think, a couple miles worth of cloth a day. And at the peak, they had 60 mills running in Manchester. And then, and they were one of the biggest parts of the Industrial Revolution was in Manchester because of their mills, because they just harnessed this whole river and they had all these cool big pipe systems that went through the mills and the water would power all the looms and they would just have these giant.
So what is in all these buildings now?
Yeah. Now they're
are they all repurposed?
Yeah, they're all either like apartments or condos, which that's I think is so super cool. Sick. It's probably like really run down and stuff, but I'm like, it's probably such a cool thing. Or they're like colleges. The Southern New Hampshire University is in one of them. And the town in general is pretty cool. I mean, it's not very diverse, as you would assume.
I was going to say, I assume New Hampshire is the place that white people first popped up on Earth.
Yeah.
Less than 20 minorities in my first like day or two.
I don't understand. Like, just being from L.A., that blows my mind.
Because we're from Northern California. But even then, Northern California is still very, very diverse. Mixed. Like, and it blew my mind that there's no diversity here. It's just white people for the most part. Like,
I mean, white people are fine just as anyone else. But I just don't know how I could. Yeah. I would just look around and be like, you know, where do I eat and what do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and their restaurant scene is actually pretty diverse. So, it's actually pretty good. They have that little taqueria that I ate at one point. Not that great.
I
had to try it because we're from L.A. So
how's New Hampshire guac?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't trust that noise.
So it was cool. And I was at the visitor center at one point, and the lady there was very proud of their, like, she's like, we even have a Hungarian restaurant. I was like, really? She's like, you can get goulash in Manchester. And I was just like, good to know, lady. All right, cool.
That's pretty cool. Whiter towns that don't have a Hungarian
In terms of
restaurant,
their biggest like claim to fame is probably the Red Arrow Diner. It's like this little diner that's in an old train car. Really cool, cute, but it was on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, which is pretty cool.
Triple D.
Yeah. And they
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives here in New Hampshire. Yeah.
Yeah, and every seat in the whole place, they have little placards of, like, who has sat there before.
Oh.
So, like, I was sitting at where, like, Sarah Silverman had sat because she went to Southern New Hampshire University, I believe. And so she loves, like, Red Arrow Diner. She has an autographed picture of her on the wall. And then she's like, I love Red Arrow and some of that. There's one spot where, like, Donald Trump and his son stop. So I was like, okay, I'm going to not go over there. But, like, it was cool. Like, but then, like, weird, like, New Hampshire royalty, like, oh, this governor from the 70s sat here. I was just like, that's cool.
Just a guy who's, like, really good high school football player.
Yeah, like, seriously. But, yeah, so that's the general, like, history of it. It's mostly the Penacook Indians were there before, but then we killed all them, like we do.
Classic.
You know, and then America. It was mostly mills. And then the mills kind of, like anything, they kind of started shutting down, and the whole town went through, like, a big problem. There's lots of strikes and all, you know, all the general industrial revolution
turmoil
stories,
and
you know,
we moved.
Although women led one of the first strikes there, which is pretty damn cool.
For voting?
For wages and stuff, like labor union strikes.
Oh, very cool.
Big labor union city, because again, it's all mills where they worked like 15-hour days with kids and shit, and people got their arms chopped off.
So there's some good history there then, for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty darn cool.
Did that lead to cool, did you see, like, again, Casey was saying, like, what are the top three things that we got to check out if we go there?
I would ask people a lot. Like, if I was somewhere, I'd be like, hey, what is there to do here? What should I do? And it's funny because I asked the lady at the car rental place at, like, when I got there, like 12:30, the first person I met in Manchester, I was like, what should I do? What should I do? And she goes, well, Vermont's really pretty. And so is Maine. And so, like, if you have a chance, you should get over there because they're gorgeous and stuff. And I was like, that's amazing. The first person I met in Manchester told me to leave Manchester and New Hampshire in general.
That is such an honest answer.
Can I ask a very stupid question?
Yes.
Do people sound different?
No, they don't.
New England?
I thought they might. They don't.
There's no, like, Wisconsin
weirdness. No, nothing like that. At least not anyone that I met. And I
visited
to
Maine, and they sounded the same too.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, what happened in Boston? Did a number of kids get dropped on their head and they came out and they're like, hey, where are you? You know, like,
yeah, I don't know.
And then the rest are just like, hey.
No, but because when I was going there, I thought, what are people going to sound? Am I going to be like that weird California guy with the weird accent? And no, they all sound
blend right in.
Well, you probably said hella more than
most
any
likely,
of them had ever heard.
NorCal represent, baby. I will say, there's not too much to do in Manchester. It's not a very big town.
Really?
It's not really a big touristy town. So it's not like, it's just touristy stuff. There is some stuff. My favorite thing that I saw there was the Sea Science Center. Sea is like, I see you. So it's SEE, Science Center. And that was pretty cool. It was kind of like one of those, like, hands-on science centers where you're like, oh, you touch this and your hair stands up. And very much like the Exploratorium in San Francisco, if you've ever been there, it's very much like that. It's a very cool place, pretty small. But for the most part, it was pretty cool. Just like little weird little science experiments around for kids and stuff. I was the only person there alone. And it was mostly kids and like their grandparents. And then this weird 26-year-old
a bunch of people looking at you
around.
And you're going like, wee.
yeah,
you know, like, something. They're like, who the fuck is
so that,
that
was cool. But the main reason, like the sciencey stuff is cool, but like that's not why you should go there. Why you should go there is because downstairs they have a massive Lego exhibit of the basically most of the town, but particularly all of the mills and stuff of the entire town is built in this. God, it's probably over 100 feet long, probably about 25, 30 feet wide. And it's huge. And it's the entire town. And it's kind of like their history and stuff like that in terms of like the mills. It's just all the mills and they're running and stuff. They had one of the buildings, the side was cut off. So you could see like inside this little Lego guys working the mills and stuff. And it was cool. It was, oh, it was just, if you like Legos, you would, it was just like your dream come That's alive, impressive. You know?
So it's a replica of the town in the past.
In the past. Yeah. I mean, not necessarily today. Yeah. But it was 3 million Legos, they said. Took 2.5 years to build.
Wow.
And they built it all over the country, and they would ship the pieces there because it was just too hard to do it all there.
So they build it like modularly in pieces and then ship completed portions? Yeah, so they probably built,
my assumption is they built like one mill, like somewhere, like say in Tucson or something like that, and they shipped it there on truck or something like that, and they shipped it there and then installed it downstairs.
Wow.
And I mean, it was just, oh, it was amazing. I wanted to play it with everything so bad.
Like, you grab just, this dude, they're like, no.
I was literally just like, there's all these kids are like, that's cool, and all these parents, and I was just like, oh, this is fucking cool.
You guys see this?
It's like, look at this little pump.
That
it's
dude's
cool.
surfing
like,
on a log right there.
Yeah, it was, it was amazing. So that was super cool. So the other two things I'm going to say are actually not in Manchester. There's a couple other touristy things like some museums and some other stuff that are cool. But if I'm going to say the top three.
You can go outside the city limits on a vacation. I
actually know someone whose family's from New Hampshire, and he found out that I was going there, and he texted me and said, hey, dude, get out of the city. Like the New Hampshire's like glory is in its like nature and stuff like that. So he was very much like, get out. And I would say I would agree with that. Manchester was lovely, but like you. The hiking, the seeing the woods and the forest was just outstanding. So now the second place I would say go to what is called the American Stonehenge. That's actually its name. Like they call themselves the American Stonehenge.
Okay, go ahead. I already got questions.
So many questions about this.
So the American Stonehenge is a number. It's probably about 45 minutes outside of Manchester or so, up in the woods and stuff. And it's essentially, it's like kind of like, it doesn't look anything like the European Stonehenge. It doesn't in Salisbury Plain. It doesn't look.
Is it made of rocks? Is it?
Yes,
a rock
it
thing?
Is. Okay. So, but it's not like giant rocks like that. It's essentially old ruins of mostly smaller rocks that are all stacked into like walls or like little buildings or little houses and stuff like that. But they don't know who made them. They have no idea. They've been carbon dated to about 4,000 years ago, which is 2000 BC. That's really long ago, you know, and so they've been carbon dated around that time and they don't know who made them. They say that the people from around that time are called the Maritime Archaic people because they're near-ish to the coast. That's where the Maritime come. Okay. And they're from the Archaic era. So they say, it's probably just, you know, Native Americans from really, really long ago. That's who they think did it. But they built these and it was just these cool, very small kind of like little huts or houses and stuff. And they're just all kind of scattered around. Some were close together in more of like a mini town, I guess, kind of thing. But for the most part, they were kind of scattered all around.
Are these, so you say like huts and stuff, like big enough to walk in or like model, like a scale model of a town?
No, like big enough to crawl into or walk into some of them. It kind of depended on which a lot of times it looks like they were kind of just like sleeping areas. Like
probably, a little bit of shelter.
Yeah. Like a little bit of shelter where they kind of built a wall on either side and then found a big flat rock or they would essentially, they would chip rocks down, essentially make like massive arrowheads. It kind of looked like, and they put that on top as like a little roof.
Hmm.
And so it seemed like it was like kind of like sleeping quarters or maybe somewhere to get out of the harsh weather. Cause during the summer, the weather was, well, at least when I was there, the weather was lovely. But during the winter, it's very, very cold in New Hampshire. Yeah. And so I'm assuming this is probably a way to get out of the weather, get out of the extreme weather there. So it's really cool. And one of the coolest things about it was there's probably 4-foot walls that are just like snaking through the countryside, just in a kind of seemingly random manner. And they kind of crisscross each other and they're all over the place. And they found these are actually astronomical maps. They're following the stars and they've kind of mapped out different constellations, I believe, and a couple other things. And one of the cool spots is they found these big flat rocks and they just like shove them into the ground And from there, one that I found was the winter solstice rock. So on my birthday, which is December 21st, which is the winter solstice.
If you guys
solstice,
want to send us money.
Yes,
to,
money presents. You know,
for his birthday.
Cocaine.
Throwing it out there. Cocaine,
please.
Yell cocaine as you're wearing a Rise Above Addiction sweatshirt.
I am wearing a Rise Above Addiction sweatshirt.
That drugs are bad, kids.
Drugs are bad.
Children.
But so there's the winter solstice rock. So at sunset on the winter solstice, the sun will hit this rock like perfectly and light up the rock. And it's just like, again, it goes back to so much of like, you know, ancient Greek time, Roman times. It's like, how did they build these things? How did they know? Cause it's hard to do this with like today's calculators and stuff. And it's just like, I love stuff like that.
So cool.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. So American Stonehenge was awesome for that reason. But the one last thing about it that was really, really cool is there was this area that's kind of like one of the bigger kind of huts or houses. It was called the Petit area. And that area they think is one of the final destinations on the Underground Railroad, because they've excavated a whole bunch of like handcuffs and manacles from that site. And they think that's where they took runaway slaves, broke off their manacles and then let them go from there, or housed them there in like the little houses for a little while. Damn. And then let them go, which is just so cool.
Cause that is cool.
Talking about like California and how new California is, like you hear about the Underground Railroad, but the Underground Railroad wasn't over here.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like,
you don't think of it being like, no, it's a real thing.
Yeah.
Like,
that happened to me a lot of times in New Hampshire, where I'd be like, oh shit, like I'm like where the revolution was. Like I'm like in one of the 13 colonies. And that kind of kept hitting me over and over again at like random spots. I'd be like walking around and all of a sudden being like, whoa.
And then
history.
We live in LA, all you can say is like, that used to be an orange grove 50 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Right. When I was here, this was lemon groves as far as the eye could see.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Even before that, there was gold everywhere.
But like, this diner's been here since the 60s. Hey. And you were like, what?
And in Manchester, they're like the 1860s.
Yeah,
and
like, we were a big part of the.
But here's the thing, guys. Here's the thing. Not to get, you know, into an argument about it, but it's like ours has been here from the 60s. But also then Frank Sinatra and mob people also hung out here all the time. And I'm like, well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of history in LA, for sure.
Some of that to make up for the having less years.
Yeah. Newer history, Hollywood history.
True. Yeah. But boom.
Still glamorous. But yeah, so that was cool. So the American Stonehenge is a place I'd highly suggest.
That sounds
you
badass.
Can do it. I did it in a half a day. I did it in the first half of my day. And so it's not very long. It was lovely. I loved it. It was super cool. The people who were running it were very nice. It's mapped out very well. Very cool.
Cool.
And the last place I would suggest, and this is not really anywhere near Manchester, but everyone told me I needed to go. And so I went and I hiked to the top of Mount Washington. Okay. Mount Washington is the highest peak in New Hampshire. And I think in the upper northeast, it's the highest peak up there. It's gets to about, I think, like 6,800 feet is how high. So it goes up pretty high.
Starting from what elevation? Do you know how much elevation gain there
yes,
was?
Yes, it's 4,300.
Wow.
4,300 feet in your hike?
Yes, in the elevation gain in the hike.
How many miles?
That's like Mount Baldy out here.
Yeah, it's really high. Dang. Hike about the round trip hike is 8.5 miles. So it's about 4.25.
And you went up and back, and so you did 8,000
So feet. every mile you're essentially going up 1,000 feet.
Oh my God.
It's really, and I went there knowing that it was gonna be tough. I didn't think I knew how tough exactly.
Seriously.
And I was just say it's worth it 100%. Do it, because it's just, the hike is beautiful. It's very tough. But, you know, right in the beginning, after a half mile or so, there's just two giant waterfalls that are just gorgeous. Oh, and I was about 2 seconds away. I was like, I'm going down to my boxes and getting in this damn thing. But I decided not to, because I was like, eh. But I was like, oh, I'll do it on the way back. But by the way back, I was so tired that I could barely see, let alone go like, oh, I'm going to go into a waterfall now. It's not an easy hike. It's more mild in terms of like, it's pretty wide, relatively easy straight up, but no doubt you're going up. In the first 2.5 miles, you go 1,800 feet up, which is already a pretty high amount. But that's in the first 2.5 miles. So for the next like less than 2 miles, you go up the whole rest of the way. And it gets really, really steep. And it's all the whole way from the very bottom to the very top. You're essentially hiking up like a lot of old riverbeds until you get to that midway point. And then the midway point up, you're essentially rock hopping the whole way. So instead of going up like a really steep dirt path, you're essentially stepping up on top of rocks. So essentially like walking up a whole shit ton of uneven stairs. And so it was harsh. So I get all the way to the top and it was just beautiful. Just because, again, it's just New Hampshire countryside and or mountains rather. And it was just so just forests everywhere and beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Get up to the top and I'm just dead. And then I find out when I get up there that there is like a big old parking lot up there and there's like bathrooms and a snack bar and you can drive there.
Oh no.
And you I will say that I probably still would have walked. I would have hiked it even if I'd known, but it was just a little insulting going up there and just seeing people like just walking around with like candy in their hands and being like, oh, this is really pretty, you know, just like, and like, there's also like a trolley up there. What? So like, I didn't have to drive. I could have just like taken a train and just like gone up.
They didn't like, earn it.
No, they didn't. But no.
You're coming up on the other side all dead.
Because like, I was about 2 seconds away from taking that trolley down the hill.
Why didn't you? You did the hard part.
Because the trolley would have taken me far away from my car, and then I would have had to walk back to my car. But also, I was like, no, I gotta do it. I gotta do the whole thing.
I respect that, man. Yeah, you're like, no, that's the hike is a round trip thing. I'm gonna do it the right way.
Yeah, so I went back down. But the problem is, because I had to get back down before it started getting dark, I was only up at the top for like 30 minutes, 45 minutes. So I basically had like no break. And going downhill is easier, but when you're going downhill that steep, it's not that much easier than going uphill. You're essentially using a different part of your quads, but you're definitely using them. So overall, Mount Washington, gorgeous. Do it. Do the hike. Just plan on the whole day being the hike. Or take the trolley down. You know, take two cars, or if you can, have one person park the trolley, you know, and the person park like a mile up the hill where you start the hike.
Sure.
It's so worth it. It's worth it for the hike. It's worth it just be like, oh, I did it. Like, that's awesome. Because it was cool, but on top being like, it was the hardest hike I've ever done in my life just because of the not having a break on the way down. And then just the sheer elevation gain for how short the hike was. It was just, oh man, it was so crazy.
It seems like Manchester, New Hampshire's strengths lie in its history and its nature.
Yes.
Not so much the present or the city.
I think.
Not that that's bad.
I haven't been anywhere else in New Hampshire, so I can't say this definitively, but I'd say that's probably most of New Hampshire. Okay. Like the history is cool because it's one of the original 13. It's very cool, but the substance is in the nature, is in getting out of the towns. Cool stuff to do in towns, but getting out of the towns and really just going through the woods, hiking up, seeing there's so many lakes and so many weird waterfalls, and it's just absolutely stunning.
So is there anything in New Hampshire or in Manchester that you did that you want to warn our listeners about not doing if they were to do this great
tour?
Was
anything like a letdown, or was it pretty like solid all the way around?
There were some letdowns. One thing I would say, the three of us are very big board gamers.
Hell yeah.
I love board games more than like, it's my number one hobby. And so whenever I'm somewhere, I always try to go see a game shop. And so I looked up a place, I found out they had a board game cafe there, which was, it was called Adler Hobby. And I was so excited. I was like, yes, a board game cafe. Cause I love board game
cafes. My people will be here.
And I went there and it wasn't, it was just like a kind of rundown board game store that like sold Cokes. So don't go to Adler Hobby. If you're expecting it, it's a cool place for like, want to talk to people, but don't expect a board game cafe. It's not that.
Okay.
So I was a little disappointed by that. The Courier Museum is like their fine art museum. Honestly, if you're short on time, I'd say you could probably skip it. If you're going to go to a museum, go to the Mill Yard Museum. The Mill Yard Museum is like the history of Manchester Museum.
Okay.
And it's good for two reasons. One, it's just a cool museum in terms of like the history. That's where I learned all about New Hampshire, all the mills, all the different stuff. Super cool. But another kind of icing on the cake for that is it's on the floor below the Sea Science Center. The Sea Science Center is right above it. Oh. So you can knock out, boom, boom, knock them out both quickly. And then you can just pop right up and go see the Legos, which was rad.
All
right. And the last thing I would say is I had to go because I was just curious. And there is a mall there that's called the Mall of New Hampshire.
Oh,
and I was just like, this mall represents the entire state. And I understand that state is a lot smaller than, say, like California.
But this is them putting their best foot forward.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, this is the Mall of New Hampshire. And I was like, I got to check it out. Like, what is at this mall? It was just a mall. That was Manchester for the most part. It was lovely. I highly suggest you guys go, whether you did alone like me or with other people.
So what was it like, I mean, just to wrap it up, being alone on vacation in a place that you'd never been and knew nothing about?
It was cool. It was, for the most part, fine. The main problem was, is like, if you're, because a lot of people, when they travel alone, they're banking on being able to meet people there to like kind of hang out with, you know, and stuff like that. Like, oh, we hook up with this group and we're going to go here and do this, which we did like in Europe a lot when I was there. But that doesn't exist in there because, one, no one goes to Manchester for vacation. So there's like no tourists, like there's no hostels, there's no tourists there. Second of all, I went during Labor Day, which is like not their peak time. I don't know what their peak time would look like, but I don't think it's much more than their time now. But like, so there's no tourists. So a lot of times, like when I was at the Courier, the art museum, I was literally the only person in that entire museum.
Oh, wow.
So it was fine, because like I don't mind being alone, but if you're someone who like doesn't really like to like spend time by themselves, or like I like a fair amount of alone time, so I still enjoyed it, but there's zero of like meeting cool people and like hooking up with,
there's no like
and doing that, like there's none of
city
that
city center,
so you really are going to be alone. I was making videos the entire time, so I was kind of focused on that. I think if I didn't have the videos to make the entire time, I would have started getting really lonely.
So what you're saying is, the next time we send you out, we bring Mike Murphy along.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Because this has got to happen again. We got to explore all of America.
I think New Hampshire could be cool. Nick, would you recommend this trip? Would you recommend Manchester, New Hampshire to people? Yes or no? And be honest.
I would, if it's a relatively short trip.
Okay.
I would not spend a week there. And if you're going alone, I would probably suggest somewhere a bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So but maybe you tack on Boston and then you do like.
Yeah, exactly. Ultimately, it's a thumbs up. Manchester was great. I'd say go if you have the opportunity. But like most people said, see the stuff in the city, spend a day, maybe day and a half in the city, and then get out into nature and see some pretty stuff.
Right on. I dig it. I dig it.
I know this is still a relatively new podcast, but one thing you guys will know is every podcast, we always have a pop quiz.
Every podcast. Yay! We're going to learn something new because Casey loves her trivia. And yes, I think does. Nick has some, this is Manchester specific. This is the one time
she won't just completely destroy us in trivia because it's always weird questions.
I know. So. Well, then we have to make them hard because she'll get them right if we don't. I yeah, just believe she knows everything about wherever. So,
yeah.
So, what you got for us, my
now,
man?
Now, I will say, really only one of these is about something that I did on the trip. I tried looking up like interesting stuff about New Hampshire. Like, this is a weird fact about New Hampshire. There's not much. I probably should have saved the Adam Sandler part for this because that's like the only weird thing I could find about
Manchester.
Him being born in Manchester.
That would have fooled me. I would not have guessed
exactly
that.
So I should have saved that, but I didn't because I'm not very smart. And so,
well, what do we got, man?
Okay. So number one, New Hampshire is the only state where this safety device is not mandatory.
Oh,
I'm going to guess seatbelts.
That'd be my guess too. Seatbelts or not.
Okay, I must have worded the question too easily because it was seatbelts.
Nice.
I saw on the trip multiple times like signs that said like, remember, minors must be seatbelted. And I was like, that's a weird sign.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, that's odd. And so I Googled it and it turns out like New Hampshire is the only state where they don't have mandatory seatbelt laws for adults. You don't have to wear a seatbelt. And it was weird me out because I would drive by cops and I'd be like, I could not be wearing a seatbelt right now. And they wouldn't do anything to me. I was like, that's weird. Also, you're not required to wear motorcycle helmets. So everyone is like Sons of Anarchy riding around with no motorcycle. Because I saw that too. I was like, I haven't seen, there's a lot of bikers there. I was like, I haven't seen anyone wear a helmet. I was like, that must be a law because they would all get tickets. Don't have to wear helmets on a motorcycle and you don't have to wear seatbelts unless you're a minor.
You probably should though.
Yes, please do that.
Holy hell. I've never gotten the whole thing of just like, I don't want to wear a seatbelt. They're uncomfortable. I'm like, first of all, no, they're not. Second of all, dude, like seatbelts save so many people.
Yeah.
All right. Number two, the highest wind speed ever recorded. What?
I'm just stoked. Great question. Go ahead.
The highest wind speed ever recorded. It was hard to find some facts about.
This is great.
So the highest wind speed ever recorded was recorded in 1934 on top of Mount Washington, where I was.
Oh, snap.
Highest ever recorded in the world. What was that wind speed?
Oh, my God. Okay. Let's think about this. The
seatbelt one was kind of a softball. I was like,
Do we think? Yeah. And you know, hey, we're super smart, so we got the
truth.
So do you think, Casey, that there was like a freak tornado on top of this mountain? Because I'm thinking like 500 miles an hour.
Okay, I'm going to go less. I'm going to okay.
That's my Mike's guess. I'm locking in 500 miles an hour.
I'm going to guess 160 miles per hour.
That's probably smart.
Okay. It was actually 232.
Dang.
Wow.
On top of Mount Wash. There's an observatory up there. And it's like, yeah, it was whoosh, there, one day, apparently.
To say there was an observatory up there. That shit is gone.
232 on top of Mount Washington. Yeah, which is see, that's hooray fast.
That's what the pop quiz should be right there. That's a random fact. We all know that now.
Yeah.
236.
Yeah.
Wow. 232.
230. I, you know, it's around there. Guys, you know what? I'm pretty sure it's 500 miles an hour.
Yeah, pretty sure.
232. You know. I'm kind of dyslexic.
All right, this one I just thought was kind of interesting because I get like, what a weird thing.
Yeah.
New Hampshire is the home to which first public building?
First public building?
Oh, I have my guess. You go first.
I think she's right.
Oh, God. I'm going to go a schoolhouse.
I'm going to guess library.
Library is correct.
Damn! That's the
first public library ever was in New Hampshire.
No, she got two out of three. It's only she knows everything.
And again, these were kind of like, I wasn't really able to find too many weird things.
Those are great facts, man. Those are awesome facts. There's no judgments in the pop quiz. There's only trivia.
Yeah.
Right? I live off of those facts.
Yeah, it was cool. And that's why I picked the Mount Washington one. I was like, there's more interesting ones. But I was like, I actually went there. There was, other than the Adam Sandler thing, there was like nothing about Manchester. Okay. At all.
Well, now I think now we can safely say we know everything about Manchester, New Hampshire. I think anyone could go there and have the best vacation in Manchester, New Hampshire of all time.
And after this podcast.
So that was Nick's little trip to New Hampshire. Yep. Now we would like to do this again and again. Maybe Nick's going by himself. Maybe it's the two of us. Either way, we want to explore more of the world. And there's actually a way that you fine listeners of ours, can help us achieve that goal and just make this a better show. And that's by visiting our Patreon, you guys. We have a Patreon page. It's the Brothers Murph. We're trying to keep it easy. Just hear the Brothers Murph everywhere. The Brothers Murph. You guys can go on there and you guys can give us a buck. Give us $2. Give us $100. Whatever you think would be fair.
$10,000.
I wouldn't say no to it. I'm just saying we are always going to try to improve this show and have better equipment, better guests.
Nick.
Do everything. Yeah.
Better guests.
We got to get some cash in here quick, you guys, because we got to get someone other than Nick. We can't let him go talk. Okay.
He talks.
So if you guys are feeling ever so generous and want to help send Nick to some weird place in this country of ours or across the world, visit our Patreon at the Brothers Murph. You guys can give there. You guys can also tweet us at Brothers Murph. No, the there. Just at Brothers Murph on tweeters. Give us a shout out and we'll say something back. Hit us up on iTunes, give us ratings and stuff. We'll have Facebook pages, all your favorite forms of social media. Just search the Brothers Murph, you're gonna find us there. And is there anything else, guys? Anything to wrap up? Manchester, New Hampshire, I can't wait to go.
I can't wait.
Check out some of that fall foliage. Well then, for now, I have been Michael Lee Murphy.
I'm Nick Murphy.
I'm Casey Brown.
And we at the Brothers Murph would like to remind you to stay curious.